hope peace will follow. All the riots, all the sorrow, and I hope I can find in my soul peace of mind.
This is Peace Talks, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution strategies. In a Santa Fe synagogue, musician Donald Rubinstein sings to an overflow crowd. As Rubinstein plays, teenage girls file in from different corners of the room to fill 14 empty chairs that face the audience. These youngsters have come from different corners of the Middle East as well to be here, from the West Bank, from Gaza, from Israel. Some are Israeli, some are Palestinian, some are Jewish, some Christian, some Muslim. This event is the culmination of a 2-week summer camp for all of them. The Creativity for Peace Camp has, for several years now, brought groups of youngsters out of their land of conflict, fear, and violence to gather in northern New Mexico to meet each other, to share their experiences, and to learn skills for leadership, trust, reconciliation, and peaceful coexistence. Bonds of friendship also form between them. Professional dialogue counselors work with the youngsters, who have each written a monologue they'll present at the synagogue on this night. They express their fears as well as their hopes for peace. The girls approach the microphone in groups of three, each representing a different side of the Mideast conflict. A Palestinian Muslim girl named Sabrine wears a headscarf and speaks through a translator.
في كل مساء أحتاج للحظات صمت وحيدا أفكر ماذا أحتاج لأحلم به.
Sometimes I feel that my pen is my land. When I write, I try to write from my heart. My pen is the land I go to when I feel full of anger, happiness, longing. I let the pen slow down on the sheet to leave behind the imprint of my feelings. But it doesn't mean that I don't need a physical land where I can feel safe. Safe to feel the warmth of the soil and the depth of the sun embrace me when I cry. And because of the occupation, I hope, I wish, to have a land, a wide land, and clean authority, and a beautiful nation, with ease of movement and freedom. To my mind, it could only happen through the younger generation, our generation. I would need many notebooks to write about checkpoints, as they are the worst thing I have ever experienced in my life. When I left Gaza and came to America with my friends to attend the peace camp, we had to pass through a number of checkpoints. Each time, it felt like I was being robbed of my self-respect when the soldiers spoke to us slowly, forcefully, and with a teasing insolence that was so humiliating. They asked us to take some of our clothes off, and it felt like someone drained my soul. If they weren't so concerned about world opinion, I'm sure they would have asked us to undress completely, standing naked in front of everyone. They treat you worse than an animal, and you can't even know who's giving you orders. The guard speaks down to you from a tower high above the ground, so far up that you can only catch his eyes if you squint. For me, it is the worst feeling in the world to have to encounter such difficulties and endure such humiliation just to leave Gaza and wait for hours on end to pass through the checkpoint. This endless waiting is hardest for those who are ill and in need of medical treatment abroad. And some prefer to die from the sickness than languish at the checkpoint. I hope that one day my land will be free so I could live in it in peace and without checkpoints.
Sariel is a Jewish Israeli girl.
Goodbye. I love you. Have a good day. The usual words, the usual formula. I always say it when I leave home. I remember the first bombing in Jerusalem. I was 8 years old, and had just returned to Israel after 6 years in the United States. It was a dark, rainy day. I heard on the radio that a bus had blown up, killing many people. I remember feeling very sad and confused. Why? I asked my mother. Why did they do it? When I arrived at school, a boy in my class told me that his sister had lost a friend in the attack. Since the Intifada has started, there have been many days when I arrived to school and find my classmates talking in hushed voices or crying in the corridors. Some know people who have just lost a parent. Sometimes people from their former schools or their youth groups are killed. One day I came to school and found my friends sobbing. A suicide bomber had exploded in a cafe 5 minutes from my school. Many people I know frequent this cafe. My friend knew two of the people who were killed in the blast, a father and a daughter. The father was an immigrant from the United States, a doctor who invested a lot of effort improving the emergency ward of one of Jerusalem's hospitals. He was known to have treated injured terrorists. His daughter was supposed to be married the next day. About a month ago, a boy my age from Alon Shavut, an Israeli settlement, was shot dead at a bus stop while waiting to go home to his family for Shabbat. His friend who was with him was injured and had both legs amputated. Many girls from my school knew the two boys. During periods of frequent bombings, there were times when there were attacks almost every single day. I was too scared to ride the bus to school. Instead, I would walk an hour in each direction, even though I had to leave earlier in the morning. Eventually, I decided that I could not go on living in fear forever. If God decreed that I am to die in an attack or lose a family member, I must accept my fate. I told myself that the best way to fight terror is by becoming a better person. I must become strengthened by the fear and pain that I experience. I must appreciate all the things I have been blessed with: a complete loving family, a whole and healthy body, a good brain, and freedom. And that I must try my hardest to become a kinder, more moral person. I can't remember ever walking out of the house without saying I love you, even when I storm out in the middle of a fight. It's sad that it takes an attack to cause us to hug our families harder and realize how fortunate we are. At night before going to bed, I hug my parents and say, "Good night, sleep well, I love you." The usual words, the usual formula. Thank God we are still a complete family. Thank God we have had one more day together.
Feruz, an Arab Muslim living in Israel, is next.
I think the world is going crazy around us. Wars are everywhere. People are getting killed every day. And I feel like I fit in the middle of this. I don't know who I am or where I come from. It's actually hard for me to talk or write about my land because I feel I don't have any land. I don't feel like I belong to any place. It's like, on one hand, I live in Israel, which is considered a Jewish country. I feel I'm unwanted there, the black sheep of the country. Who says that I don't want to be a normal citizen there? I pay taxes, I speak Hebrew, isn't it enough? Or should I go into the army and serve there? On the other hand, I'm an Arab girl, but I don't live with Arabs. I don't speak Arabic all the time because people can't understand me. I wish that I would have land to belong to be free there, to be equal like everyone else, and to live in peace, but real peace. The world land or my land doesn't make sense to me. This comes from my heart, and I can't lie to myself. Who says that I want to continue being considered like the natural enemy from both of the sides? It seems to me that we are not going to live in peace anymore because we still believe that we have enemies. Enemy, I abhor this word. I think that the real enemy of you is yourself. If you want to believe that you have enemies, it's your problem. You have to fight yourself and do whatever your heart tells you, not what your brain tells you, because hearts are never wrong. It's time to say stop. We want to live. Stop your madness. Our grandparents taught us a lot of things, and we should learn from their experiences. A new generation will be born from us, and I will raise my children to think differently.
Arab, Israeli, and Palestinian girls sharing their thoughts at the end of the Creativity for Peace camp in the summer of 2005. Peace Talks host Carol Bosch talked with the director of the program, Rachel Kaufman, about the goals of this effort to bring teens from opposing sides in the Mideast conflict together.
It's based on the phrase from Knudsen that an enemy is someone whose story you haven't heard. So once they hear the stories and they find the commonality of fear or the commonality of losing a loved one, once they see the other not as the enemy but as a human being, then all the doors open to understanding.
So you've just had, you're almost finished with the second group of teenage girls that have been here this summer. Is there a particularly powerful, moving moment that you can share with us?
Okay, for this group, we've had, and for the last group, the same moment. We had girls from Palestine, two girls, who came over, who really, to me, expressed they want to meet the Israelis, but they hate them. And the only reason they were coming to camp is to tell the story of their suffering. But they didn't like Jewish Israeli girls at all. We were in a dialogue crying for like 3 hours about this. And one of the Palestinian girls, she said, she started really crying. She said, I don't hate you all anymore. I love you. You're my friend. And she said, how can I hate you when you're my friend? See, and one of the other things that happened on the other side is on the first day, a couple of the girls from Gaza were talking about the killing of innocent civilians. And two of the Israeli Jewish girls said, my army does not kill innocent civilians. They really believe that. That's their reality. And then about 4 or 5 days later, one of the Israeli Jewish girls started crying, listening to the stories of the kids from Ramallah and Gaza. She says, I really didn't know what was happening, and I'm so sorry. When I go in the army, I'm going to try and change it so we're not killing children. So it was major shifts, you know, from hatred to friendship and from not knowing what's really happening on the other side to knowing. But then that girl, of course, has to sit with the pain of, like she says, it's so painful now to hear your truth because my truth was different. And, you know, we can do these dialogues and they cry and they scream and they yell. And then in the next minute, they're playing music and dancing and having lunch or shopping. But their lives are not that easy. I mean, you sat and listened to them tonight. It's not a normal teenage life. Normal teenagers don't worry about being blown up or run over. We have a girl here that was chased by a tank. You know, and when she tells the story that running down the street alone, chased by a tank. I mean, this is not a normal life. And then we have one girl who's lost three friends and suicide bombers. It's very sad to grow up this way. So I'm really happy that they can have some happiness.
The meaning of the word intifada in English is complicated.
Diana is a Palestinian Christian.
When we think about the root of the word in the Arabic language, it means to react or object to any act of discrimination. And that is really what happened. The intifada came as a response from the Palestinians to the suffering of discrimination, the anger over travel limitations, the loss of their land and identity, and the loss of liberty in a safe homeland. My land is Gaza. It's the place where I feel that I belong. My father is a Palestinian, and my mother is Russian. We came to Gaza when I was 4 years old. My land is the place that I love. And I love it even when bad things happen in my city. I think that the checkpoints are the most difficult thing and the problem we have when we travel. When we need to go to any place outside of Palestine, we have to wait long hours. in the checkpoints for the soldiers to allow us to pass and go through, even though they know that many people wait as we wait. Through my experience of traveling and going outside the city, I learned an important thing, that a person finds his or her dignity and true self-evaluation in his or her own homeland. Jerusalem is a holy city for the three monotheistic religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. Jerusalem was a Palestinian city, and still is a Palestinian city even with the Israeli occupation. Jerusalem reminds every person of his religion and his roots. But the Muslims have been forbidden to enter Jerusalem many times because of the occupation. We know and believe that Jerusalem is a holy city for three religions, but the Jews can't appreciate that. And they want it just for themselves, and forbid the Palestinians, Muslims, and Christians to enter Jerusalem by using their power and abilities as occupiers. A person has to love and appreciate his land and benefit his land. As a Palestinian, I feel pain because my land has been taken from me by those in power. My freedom has been taken, the freedom of living in peace, security, and safety on a beautiful land.
Audie is an Israeli-Jewish teen.
It's so hard for me to hear some people's opinions. I love Israel. It's my home, it's my love, it's my family. Each day I hear conversation of my parents and their fears about my brother who is in the army. I will never apologize about my rights to live in this country that my grandparents built in their own hands. No soldier enjoys being in Gaza or Ramallah or the checkpoints, but it's the only way to prevent suicide bombers and give a feeling of safety to the citizens of Israel, Jews and Arabs as one. It's so hard for me to hear people say that the Intifada is exactly the same as the Holocaust. I feel there isn't anything similar between those two things. I wish the Intifada would stop. My opinions have grown at this camp, and I feel the only solution is to take the land of Israel and split it into two countries. One side the Arabs and on the other side the Jews. On every side there are people that are extreme, and they want all the land. Until they will have it, it won't be pleased. So many times there were bombings in places where I go a lot. For example, 1 month ago, there was an explosion near the mall in Netanya. We go there a lot, and my mom and I were supposed to be there that day. I was really scared when I heard about the bombing because I could have been killed. Also, just a few days ago, there was shooting on a bus in Shufaram, an Arab Israeli village. The man who shot people was an Israeli soldier. My dad works there, and one of his employees warned him after the shooting to leave because he's a Jew who works in an Arab community. Both of those examples show that the violence comes from both sides. I wish someday that we could live in peace, and I hope that the suffering of my grandparents and all the Israeli people will end. I hope I can play a small part in this.
You're listening to Arab, Israeli, and Palestinian teenage girls speaking to an audience in Santa Fe's Temple Beth Shalom in the summer of 2005. The teens were wrapping up their time at the Creativity for Peace camp that brought them together. Again, here's Carol Boss with camp director Rachel Kaufman.
You were talking about shifts that have happened. Can you think of an example of a story of, let's say, one of the girls going back to their community where this shift, they took their experience here and as a result a shift happened back home?
On the Israeli-Jewish side, we've had about three or four of our girls who are now not going to enter into the army. They're choosing civil service because they don't want to be in a position to hurt their friends. So that's a big shift for them. They were all going to go in the army, and several are making a decision not to. Several are making a decision to go in the army but ask for a desk job and not combat and not to be assigned in Palestine. One of the Palestinian girls, She told me that when I interviewed her in Ramallah, she would not sleep with the same room with Jewish girls. She was too afraid. She went back, though, to Ramallah, and now she talks a lot about her Jewish-Israeli friends and how the Israelis, how her friends are. She's really promoting peace. And, of course, for her, this is very difficult because she's called a traitor and other things that I don't want to repeat.
I remember what happened to me one day.
This is Rana speaking through a translator.
It's maybe going to be funny to you, but it's the example for what happened to me as a Palestinian girl, and I can't forget. One day, the Israeli army told us that after a couple of hours, they will attack Gaza, my city in Palestine, that they will attack us with tanks and shooting, and sometimes they enter into our homes and use our things and take our men and kick us out of our homes. It scared me a lot. I was terrified. I started to think about what's going to happen if the Israeli army kicks us out of the home. Oh my God, we will be in the streets without a home. Then I just think about a solution. Really, I want to prepare myself. And I came up with an idea to pack a bag with all the stuff that I may need if they kick me out. I put some food for myself and my family if we will be hungry, and all my personal things that I most like, and I don't want to lose them in their attack. I've also put some clothing, especially my praying clothes. And the most important thing that I put is the Quran, because when I feel afraid, or I worry about something, and feel unsaved, I read the Quran to feel comfortable, and to ask God to protect me and my family, especially from the enemy's attacks. It's not fair to let a child feel all those fears. Really, not fair. The fear that Palestinian children feel every day and don't have the same normal childhood as every other child in this world.
Shoshan, a Jewish Israeli girl, is flanked by Miriam and Diana, both Palestinians.
I live in a bubble. My home is built on the side of a hill, opposite the Carmel Mountain. The life in the place where I live is disconnected from the reality. It does not mean that I don't know what is happening in Israel and around the world. It just means that the place where I live is where I feel most safe in all the world. Last year, my mother and her friend collect money and bought 300 school bags, notebooks, pens, and pencil boxes. With much effort, we filled them with the notebooks and the pencil boxes. And when it was all ready, a group went to Rumane, a village near the Jenin refugee camp, and gave these bags to the Palestinian children. 4 months later, I went with my mom to Rumane to see how else we could help. On the way home, we saw all the children went with the bags. That we have given them, returning from school.
As Shoshan fights back tears, Diana from Palestine puts her arm around her.
It was a very moving experience for me. As soon as I saw the children, I felt I have made a difference in the world. When I held the children, I felt like it's a small act. But when I saw them went with the school bags on their back, I understood that the small act was greater than I had thought. These are the poorest children in the village. They have no money for school bags, notebooks, and most other needs. So often, they just don't go to school, don't get an education, and cannot get ahead in their society. I felt I was not giving for a place of pity. I was offering them a chance for growth and a better life. I felt I was giving more than school bags. I was giving them hope, hope that they could get an education, and also hope by knowing that not all Jews are bad, that only their only contact with Jews is soldier, who of course they see as the enemy. I wanted them to know that there are people who care about them, and some of these people are Jews. I have a huge fear that the war will never end. It makes me think a lot about what country means to me. Actually, I felt that I have no country. I don't feel that any country is mine. I can live anywhere. I don't care. Many feel that the land of Israel is theirs, but in the truth, no land belongs to anyone. All land belongs to the world. If all the people will begin to understand that nothing in this world belongs to them, peace will come sooner. Peace starting with the understanding that land belongs to everybody.
My name is Luzian. I am a Christian Arab girl who lives in Israel in a small village in the north called Fasuta, where I was born. Israel is a Jewish land, but we the Arab Israelis live here and believe it is our land too. I live with my big family peacefully in my village, but we want to go to other places in Israel. We are afraid because of the bombings that happened in Israel all the time. I hope the nations soon come to an understanding and find a peaceful solution because Jerusalem belongs to them equally. I think that each letter in the word peace has a meaning. P means people. E means equality. A means acceptance. C means communication. And E means education. There are so many meanings to the word peace. For example, there is a peace between a person and himself. This is a peace that is sitting you with yourself. Peace between people is every day. It is meeting new people and how you treat them and behave towards them. We all need to have hope for peace because it will be a wonderful thing in the world, especially between Israel and Palestine, and also in Iraq and any other place that is not peaceful. I feel that peace is the most beautiful thing in life, and when peace will come to the world, all the sadness will go away from the people.
Arab, Israeli, and Palestinian girls speaking from their hearts at the end of their 2 weeks at the Creativity for Peace Camp in Glorieta, New Mexico in the summer of 2005. We'll have more after this break on Peace Talks. You're listening to a special edition of Peace Talks, the radio series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. I'm Paul Ingalls with Carol Boss, who asked the founder of the Creativity for Peace Camp, Rachel Kaufman, for more details about the program.
It's a year-round program of what we call sustained dialogue between Palestinians living in Palestine, Israelis, Jewish Israelis, and Arabs living in Israel. It begins with like 2 to 3 weeks here in Santa Fe, 15 minutes from Santa Fe, where we bring them all together, and in the morning we do dialogue called compassionate dialogue, where they tell their stories. in their life. And then the art, we in the afternoon we do art. And then between we go to Santo Domingo, we go shopping at Villa de Mall, we do the whole thing. And then what we do is they go home, but we continue four or five times a year bringing the Palestinians out of Palestine into Israel. Because right now the Israelis can't get into Palestine. So we bring them into Israel and we have slumber parties and retreats. So they continue, and we've got like 60 some odd girls have already gone through the program. So we bring them all together. And so far, inshallah, we've always been able to have travel permits. We've always been able to get them together.
If you can also talk about the goals and intentions for this program.
Well, that's an interesting question. My goal was only, the first year, was to have them sit in one room and listen. I didn't expect anything else. But what's happening is we have found they're not only listening, but they're beginning to understand. They're beginning to change their points of view. They have extraordinary moments of reconciliation. They have moments of forgiveness. We don't ask them to change their minds or their opinions. They're free to think as they wish. So the goal was really just to sit and listen and understand the other side. But what happened is they within 4 or 5 days, they form extraordinary friendships. So they continue to email, communicate. As I say, my goal was very simple.
This is Nardine, an Arab Christian who lives in Israel.
Hi. I study in an Italian school. It's a Christian school, but we also have Muslims and 3 Jewish girls. One of the most beautiful places that I love is Jerusalem. I go there every other month. Jerusalem is a big and beautiful city. I go there to pray and also to shop. Every time I go, I always hear a voice in my head that says to me to be careful or not to go at all. It's not that I'm afraid, but I always hear that voice. I'm not afraid because I always go where the Arabs live, and I don't think that they are going to bomb themselves, so I feel a little bit safer. The church where I go to pray is the church where Sacred Heart of Jesus. When I go to Jerusalem and see the Arabs living with others peacefully, I still have the hope that each day we can live in peace together. I think that Jerusalem is a beautiful city, so I feel sorry that the Palestinians can't go to visit there. I think that the government doesn't have the right to forbid any person to visit the city. I think that Jerusalem is a city that belongs to the Arab people, but if we put all of these thoughts away, like Jerusalem belongs to Arab or to Jews, the two nations can live together. The Jews have now become 6 million people living in a country that does not belong to them. I think that the Israeli government and the soldiers are doing to us what Hitler did to them. It's like they are taking revenge. I feel sorry about what Hitler did in the past, and now I feel so sorry about what the Israeli government is doing today. Well, I can live with another person, but I don't agree with his ideas. I can just listen to him and say, okay, well, it's your opinion. Let's keep living like we are, and that's that. I use this example about Israel and Palestine. Not one of the two countries wants to give up, and not one of the two countries wants to get out. So these two countries can live together without war and each one with his things. But unfortunately, the government doesn't think as I do or like other people do who want peace so much. The government does all these complicated things. We can just hope for peace and wait and see what comes.
Noam is a Jewish-Israeli teen.
I was in the living room with some friends. My mother was putting makeup on us for fun. Suddenly, there was the loud siren, and my mom took all of us quickly to the bomb shelter. We had to sit in this small room, and then my mother and father's friend went to bring all of us food. I was really worried for her, and it seems like forever until she came back. When the Intifada started, I live in the south. The rockets fell in my area, but it seems far away until one day a rocket fell in the kibbutz where I studied. Later, we went back to Kiryat Shmona. There was a time when almost every day we heard the rockets fly above us. I try not giving this too much attention, but it was scary to be alone in the house and hear the booming of the rockets. One time, we went to an Arab village for my school volleyball game, and in the middle, our coach told us that might be Katyusha rockets falling at home. Tears started to fall down my face. Another time, we were on our way to a game in a different Arab village, and we were told that there is a suspicion of a terrorist penetrating into Kiryat Shmona. All the people were ordered to return to their home and stay there. I was alone in my house and scared. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and she discussed a lot of things, including her life in Germany. The Holocaust is a horrible thing that happened to the Jewish people and changed the essence of the Jewish nation. My grandparents suffered in it, and my grandmother wrote a whole book about what happened to her during this time. Today, people use terms from the Holocaust and compare it to other things. This is the most despicable thing I feel you can do. It makes me very angry, and it causes an indescribable feelings. This is the reason that Israel is so important to us, and I think we should learn the history and the process that caused the Holocaust to understand it. This year, I saw a play with my theater class, and there was an ex-soldier in the play that talked about standing at checkpoints when he served in the army. Serving at checkpoints affected a man and made him cruel in a way that he didn't think was possible. Being in the territories made him cynical and apathetic. He traveled to India after the army, like many ex-soldiers Israelis, and made a spiritual journey for himself. But it was only a cover in different clothes. These young Israeli men are normal, full of life and happy, but the situation of standing at checkpoints changed them. The soldiers are 18 to 20 years old, and they have so many responsibilities. If they don't stop a suicide bomber from entering Israel, they will be responsible for the bombing. They are afraid that if they don't check people well enough, a bomber will get through. Doing this so many times a day make people apathetic. The soldiers did things they never would have done. When I will be in the army, I want to stand at checkpoints to make sure that bad behavior won't happen. My land is Israel, and no one is going to take it away from me. It's my home, and the home that my grandparents have fought for, the land my grandparents built on, and my grandparents put sweat, blood, and tears on. My home forever. My friends, my history, my beliefs, the Bible, the place I know, the place I feel comfortable in, the place with the most difficult and complicated problems in the world. But for me, it's obvious. This is a place I want to live in. The more I write, the more connected I feel to Israel. I'm saying things now that I didn't know I felt, and they are so strong within me. I love Israel, and I'm in pain about what happened there.
Noy, another Israeli-Jewish girl, spoke through translator Camille Eder Norwick, part of the Project World Stories team that helped facilitate the dialogues during the camp with these teens.
Home. Land. What does it mean? Almost all of our life is based on material culture. What I feel is home is the place I feel safest in the world. This place for me is the house I live in Kahal, a small village in the north of Israel. My private home symbolizes many things, material and emotional. Almost all my life, I have lived there and have many good memories, also a few bad ones. They all add up and are carved in my mind as good and happy memories, because even my bad memories make me who I am and who I will be in the future. The feeling of home is not only in my house, it is in my entire village. In the evenings, all the teenagers meet in our clubhouse, where we talk, laugh, and sing together. I love living in this quiet place, far from the noise and crowds of people. I do not suffer from bombings like most of the rest of the country. because not many people come to my small village. When I hear the news, I cannot believe why there is so much suffering on both sides, not only for the Israelis, also for the Arabs and Palestinians. It is difficult to live in a country when every Monday and Thursday there is a suicide bombing and so many people getting killed and wounded. It has not happened yet that a person from my family has been hurt, but I am so scared that it will happen. I don't think I could deal with another death of someone near to me. If you ask me if I have an enemy, I will say yes. I am my own enemy, not the Arabs, nor the Palestinians, or anyone else. Only me. It is me who hurts or forgives myself. It is me who decides what is good and what is bad. Me who makes decisions when to stop a fight, when to make up, and when to make peace.
After the monologues, three of the girls who attended the Creativity for Peace camp giggled and joked with each other as Carol Boss gathered them for an interview. Gil, an Israeli Jewish girl, Nardine, an Arab Christian living in Israel, and Sabrine, a Palestinian Muslim.
I was wondering how you benefited from your participation in this program. So what is one of the most important or significant things that's happened to you here while you were here?
אני חושבת שהדבר שהכי חשוב שצריכנו לקבל מהמחנה זה בעצם ש...
You said that the most important thing that she gets from the camp to open our hearts, to talk about our suffering, about our feeling, about our own opinion. And after that, even that we have such different opinion, to get one opinion, include all the opinions, and to hug each other.
And Nardine.
Well, first of all, here I learned that we can begin from small groups to be an important thing in the future. And about when I'm coming home, I would like to keep in touch with all the girls. And now I have more hope for peace and that we can live together. I'm just glad that I came here.
And what was the most fun for you in these couple of weeks?
וואי, המון דברים. אבל הדבר שהכי הצחיק אותי והכי היה לי כיף זה כשהלכנו לקנון, אז נכנסנו לחנות.
When we went to the mall, they went to some store that there's a wedding dresses and elegant dress. So most of them...
We tried and take a picture with them.
They tried the dress and took pictures. So that's why I'm so fun with them.
You're listening to a special edition of Peace Talks, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. And you're hearing young women who attended the 2005 Creativity for Peace Camp, a program that brings teens from all sides of the Mideast conflict to Glorieta, New Mexico, for 2 weeks of sharing and connecting with each other. Here again is Peace Talks host Carol Boss with the program's founder, Rachel Kaufman.
How are the girls selected who come here to be part of the program, the Peace Camp?
They find out about us through word of mouth. Right? There's no advertising or anything. Then they go through a very lengthy application process in English, where they do an autobiography and they answer a lot of questions like, what is a good listener? Is peace possible? They also are required to have two letters of recommendation. And then I go over there, and because I have an American passport, I can get into Palestine, I can get into Ramallah and Nablus and Jenin, and I can get into Gaza. So then I go and I do lengthy interviews with them and their families. Then we pull them all out into one place, and we spend 2 days together talking about what the camp's about. We do dialogue. We test their English proficiency at that time, and then we make a selection.
Back to the teens' monologues presented to an audience at Temple Beth Shalom in Santa Fe. This is Manar, an Arab Muslim living in Israel.
My home, my love, my land. But really, I don't know what I'm talking about. I love it, I adore it, but I don't know what is it. Is it Israel or Palestine? Actually, I can't answer this question. Sure, Palestine is my love. My traditions and habits are Palestinian. But I live in Israel. and I have an Israeli identification. I also learn in Israeli school. So, am I Israeli, or shall I ignore my Israeli identity? I can't really ignore it. My voice may be able to ignore it, but my heart can't. I have a lot of dreams that I hope will come true, but I also fear that society will not give me the opportunity. I want to be a woman who helps her society to become free and to have a permanent identity. Sometimes, I feel I'm strangled because I don't know who I am. But I'm always try to help myself because I was never weak, and I will not be weak now. But I'm confused whether I'm Israeli or Palestinian. When I was in Egypt, I met a Palestinian person who lived in Egypt, and I told him with a smile that I'm an Arab-Israeli girl. He looked at me like he wanted to kill me, but I don't know how to say what I felt when he said to me, "You, Arab-Israeli people, hate the Palestinians like the Jewish." I was so surprised from his talking, and immediately I walked away and started to cry without saying anything to him. I had another experience at the airport with my father. There were a lot of Jewish there, and they all passed easily without problems, but it took the Arabic people a lot of time just to pass the first gate. When they asked us where we lived, we said that we are from Umm al-Fahim, and Israeli security stopped us. After 1 hour, a person from the security came and asked me questions for a long time that made me so tired and so nervous. I asked myself, is this happening to me because I'm an Arabic girl living in Israel? The Palestinians look at me like I hate them, and the Israelis look at me like I hate them too. What can I do? Shall I remain silent all the time, or should I look for another identity and call it nothing or no identity?
My name is Miriam, and I'm from Sweden. My father is from Palestine, and he lives in Gaza. I'm really worried for him, and I'm afraid to go and visit him there because I've heard all about the shootings, and I'm really afraid that me or my brother will be killed or hurt if we visit him. I feel close to my father even though I live in Sweden and he in Palestine. I live in Sweden with my mom and my little brother. Me and my brother only visit my father during the summer break when we go on vacation. I didn't know so much about the situation between Israel and Palestine when I first got to the camp, only the things I've seen on the news and what my dad and mom told me. But here I've learned so much from the Israeli and Palestinian girls. I feel so sorry for them and I really want to help, but I don't know how. It's different for me because I'm so far away from their reality. Even though I know about the situation better, I'm still so afraid to go there. My life as an outsider is so different from theirs. I could never imagine how it would be to live under those circumstances, to not have the freedom you want, to do whatever you want, to not have a normal life. Now that I've gotten to know these wonderful girls at Creativity for Peace Camp, this situation is so much more important for me. I hope that in the future, our generation would do something about this. I don't want my friends to suffer more. I hope that the world will find peace and that Palestine and Israel can live together in a country of peace, love, and understanding.
Gil is a Jewish teen from Israel.
The Holocaust is a very sensitive subject for me because nearly all my family were murdered there. My grandfather on my father's side was only 6 years old when the pogrom started in Romania. He was at the town square when suddenly he saw many people running. He ran after them to see what was happening, and what he saw was his father being hung. Their financial position was good before this. Now my family had to look for food in trash cans because they simply had no money to buy food. A few years later, my grandfather came to Israel with his mother and sister. Their financial position changed, but emotionally, I cannot describe their pain and suffering. And because of all of what I know about the pain of so many people who are important to me, I truly do not understand how we, the Jews, are capable of judging the Arabs after we have been so harshly judged. Before Rabin was killed, my mother, who is an artist, was invited to represent Jewish art in an interfaith exhibition which took place in Sashnin. I didn't pronounce it correctly, an Arab village. During the months of getting the exhibition ready, we spent many weekends in Sakhnin, and I met many wonderful Arab people for the first time in my life. We became good friends and spent much time together, visiting each other's homes without any thoughts of hate or pain. There was just love and a feeling of being at home. All I knew was that they are people just like me, good and nice. But the years passed and the situation changed and all this mess started. I felt that I could not understand because none of the Arabs I had met would want to harm me. Now I feel that I never really knew what an Arab is. We are all so afraid of the suicide bombers. I know someone that was in a hospital for 7 months after he simply wanted to ride on the bus. The bus blew up, metal went into his stomach, and to this day, he is scarred and simply hates all Arabs. By his side, we dare not speak about peace, and on the other hand, I see many of my friends that think not all Arabs are guilty, and there are those who want to harm us, and there are those who are just like us and are afraid of what each day will bring. I have always stood in the middle and listened to all of them. It has been really difficult for me to decide because I think that on the one hand, there are so many innocent Arabs that have done nothing bad, so why should I hate them? But on the other hand, see what they have done to my friend. They caused him to have a terrible experience, not only his wound, but seeing a head on one side of his body and the rest of the body on the other side, a memory that he will never forget. This memory was caused by an Arab. And now I am here. I see in our group that the Arab girls are also suffering because of us. They are also afraid and hurting like us. I really want to go and spend time with the girls for a few days to know firsthand what it is like and what happens there. I need to know everything before I judge someone, because at this moment I really think that I have no right to judge anyone, be it my friend who hates so deeply or the Arabs, before I see and hear everything. I feel it is not logical that the Palestinian Arabs cannot come to Jerusalem. I only found out about it here in this group. Jerusalem is a sacred place for all religions. Jews come and pray and put notes in the wall. I too have been to Jerusalem many times and have left notes in the wall. It saddens me that because this place is so holy, there are so many wars. I honestly cannot understand why we all cannot go to Jerusalem, all people, no matter what their religion or color, because we are all human beings. And I think we all have the right to feel hope when we visit our sacred sites and to feel good about ourselves and our beliefs. What is most important to me is that I believe we are all equal. No one is better than the other.
Arab, Israeli, and Palestinian girls speaking their respective truths to a Santa Fe audience at the end of their 2 weeks at the Creativity for Peace Camp in Glorieta, New Mexico, in the summer of 2005. The program ended with Shoshan, a Jewish Israeli, and Miriam, whose Palestinian father lives in Gaza, singing together.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You may say I'm a dreamer, but you're not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Ooh, 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 ooh. You may say I'm a dreamer, but you're not the only one. I hope someday you join us and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You may say I'm a dreamer, but you're not the only one. I hope someday you join us and the world will live as one. Oh, you may say I'm a dreamer, but you're not the only one. I hope someday you join us and the world will live as one.
For links to news about the Creativity for Peace Camp and to the Project Life Stories team that facilitated the girls' dialogue and monologue process at the camp, you can visit our website, peacetalksradio.com. That's where you can also hear this program again, as well as all the programs in our series. That's peacetalksradio.com. There you can also order CDs and learn how to support this program, which is produced by Good Radio Shows Incorporated, a nonprofit media organization. Support for Peace Talks also comes from the McCune Charitable Foundation of New Mexico, online at nmmccune.org. Music today by Ali Adelman and Donald Rubenstein. For our host, Carol Boss, I'm Paul Ingalls. Thanks for listening.